Accession number 28701, Reel 3.
This is Anne Wallace, Reel 3. The last WAC that I interviewed, they had a few problems with the wing commander hanging around their dormitory. Did you have any problems like
no,
that?
No. I tell you, I can tell you a funny story with one of the girls that I was that was working in the control tower with me. She was singing, "Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam," and the phone rang, and she was still singing this song. And at the other end, the officer said, "The Jesus might want you for a sunbeam, but I," and then he, I did a bleep, "don't want you for one." I can remember that. That was really funny at the time. Yes. But no, I got on pretty well. If they wanted anything from the cookhouse, they used to always send me, because I got on very well with the sergeant in the cookhouse. If you wanted any extra, like milk or sugar, it was mainly evaporated milk in those days. We didn't get the fresh milk so much as evaporated milk for our tea.
So was that watered down to go in your tea?
No, not really. Not really. We just used to, you know, put. But they all sent me to the cookhouse because I always got on very well with these sergeants.
Did you ever get to know any of the pilots coming in?
We spoke to them, but we didn't really, because, you know, they were... only time we mixed with them, really, was if we were at a dance. If we had dance, and we used to get quite a lot of dances on the camp in the NAFI. That's where.
So what were some of the type of dances that you would have then?
Do you watch Strictly Come Dancing?
I have done, but not this year.
No.
Not
well, it had waltzes, foxtrots, and mainly that. And we used to, if ever there was a dance, I was always there, whatever time I finished, because I loved it, and still do.
Do you go now?
Well, if we go away on a conference, there's always music, dancing there. Then we get up and dance. I can't do it as much as I used to because of my knee, more or less, but I still can get up and do it. And I do the disco as well. Because it's good exercise,
good fun,
as well.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my sister goes every week. She does sequence dancing. So it's good exercise, you know.
Does your sister live quite near you?
Yes, Morden.
Oh.
Yes. If I had been on leave and my brother had been on leave, we would have all been together, except my sister, because she was younger. At this place in Putney High Street, there used to be a milk bar. And over the top of the milk bar was a Cinderella Club, which was, we used to go dancing there. And that's where he got killed, because it was near Putney Bridge. And what happened was people getting off the bus, and they reckoned that someone must have shone a light. You know, they'd use torches because it was in the blackout. And they reckoned that he may have seen a light because he came back. The plane came back. And because they were always trying for the river, you know, all along there. And it caught this club, the cinema, which was opposite. The dance band was found up on the roof of the cinema. And opposite was a big furniture shop. And that one got an oil bomb. Because I remember it, I got leave, and they hadn't found my brother then. And I came home, and because I didn't get home till the early hours of the morning, and came to Putney High Street, because we lived at, we had to walk down a road from Putney High Street to our house, and it was all cordoned off, and there was a policeman there, and I said, have they found everyone? And he said, yes, they'd found them all. And when I got home, they had found my brother, and it was the blast that killed him. He wasn't mutilated like some, but it was the blast, because my mother and father had been like to see where he was.
Like suffocation?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it must be that it takes all the breath out of them. And he just got a bruise apparently on his head.
Yeah. What age was he?
16. Yeah. So, you know, I'll show you a photo before you go up him.
Family doesn't get over that.
My mother is a Catholic, was a Catholic. We're not, we're Church of England. And the only people that came to ask if they needed any help of any description was the Salvation Army. And Bill was in the Salvation Army when he was young. And I don't know whether he's told you that. He's probably forgotten about that.
Mentioned that.
Yeah. And they were the only ones that came and knocked at the door and asked if there was any help. But there were 400 people killed that night, and they were all young. Yeah. There was one girl, a friend of my brother's, who survived, but she had an injury to her leg. She was found in the rubble, and she was lucky enough to be alive, like, you know. It happened.
And your other brother?
My other brother, how old am I? 82. He'll be 81 December, because he's a year younger than I am.
So
he lives right over, and I haven't seen him for a long time. He's just lost his partner, because he was married and his wife died, and he had a partner, and she's not long ago died. And the family wanted to sell the house, and so but he's got somewhere, so he's okay. He's doing all right.
So was he in the war?
He was at the end of the war. He went in the service, the end, more or less the end, just sort of the last year. He was in the Middle East. He was in the army.
And with the 8th Army?
I don't know. Can't remember now actually what he, you know, but he was he wasn't in the service during the war, but he pretty well broke up when my brother got killed, because they were very close, all sort of go round with their arms around one another, that, you know. But he's all right. He does a lot for the British Legion, the poppies. He does a lot for that.
It just seems that activity, that being involved,
yes,
sustains people.
Oh, it does.
It does. It keeps people going.
Yeah. It's difficult to explain to anyone. We keep saying, Bill kept saying, you know, about us giving it up, because we might be doing too much. But you think about it, and then you think, well, what are you going to do? You'd only sit and you'd stagnate, and that's the beginning of the end. I mean, he doesn't carry the standard now, because he's carried that for 21 years, and that's sensible, because he's on tablets to do with his heart. He hasn't got a bad heart, it's just too fast, so he's kind of on to slow it down, and he's on warfarin, because that's to stop him from having a stroke or a heart attack. So.
And did you end up with a heart condition after the rheumatism?
No. Fortunate. But as I say, I got much healthier when I was in the Air Force.
That's a blessing, isn't it? When
yes.
you consider how you suffered as a child.
Child, yes. Yes. In fact, I'm sort of the eldest, and I would. But both my sister and I have got, and my brother, have all got diabetes. We've all got that. And that, I think that's inherited because there were two aunts, one on each side of the family, that inherited that. And I think, I'm sure that's why we've inherited it, you know. But then it's not like it used to be years ago. The diet is pretty good, really.
You can control very,
yeah, very, very much so. Yes,
yeah. A lot of willpower required.
Yes, yes. Yes, when we were training the air gunners, they used to go up in the Wellington bombers, and they would be learning to do the Morse code. That was our part of their training. We used to send them Morse. If they made mistakes, then you had to correct them, and then they would do their exams with an instructor, and whether they passed or not through that. But that was our job, was to train the air gunners Morse code.
Did you ever speak to them?
Probably at dances, but you didn't really know them individually because there were quite a number of them, you know. You would go to dances in the evening and sort of mix with everybody, really.
So you weren't on first name terms or anything like that?
Not really, no. Not really.
But you enjoyed that?
Yes, I did enjoy it. There is one thing that I'd forgotten, actually. While I was at this camp, there were two girls working on a lorry in a hangar, because they were mechanics. And there was an aircraft that crashed. It went straight through the hangar and it killed the two girls in the hangar. And there was one of the ground staff, a little man he was, I can't remember his name, and I know he rushed in and he did something, and he got an award for his bravery. A very sort of insignificant little man that you know. But it was those type of people that did these brave things. That's all I can add, actually, to about the training. Yeah. Yes, we had quite a number of Australian men, and they wore navy blue uniforms at the time. And again, they were training as air gunners and pilots as well, you know. But we didn't have a lot to do with the pilots because they trained elsewhere anyway. But air gunners mainly, you know, that's all. We used to go to dances and the Australians were there and the Christmas parties. I've got a photo again. I've got, in fact, with an Australian. I'll have to find them and show you next time.
When Bill did his recording, he mentioned different nationalities, even Barbadians.
Yes. Oh, yes, we had Jamaicans, and who else did we have? Well, the only time I came across Americans were when we was on our wireless course. We had a lot of Americans stationed up there. I didn't have much to do with them. Well, because we were in boarding houses anyway, so it wasn't like being on a camp. And there were Polish very much in Blackpool. Very much in Blackpool. In fact, they've got a big Polish club up there now, Rafa Club, and it's Polish, which Bill and I have been to. We sort of Canadians. We had a lot of Canadians. Who else? Not so much girls. Not so much the girls. I didn't come across any. Only men. Only the men that were different nationalities. But I can't think of anyone else, actually. Oh, at Christmas time, we used to have, when we had our Christmas dinner, that was the only time the officers waited on us. And this particular time, the band consisted of one Australian in it at this particular Christmas party, and that was at RAF Wing.
So what instrument was he playing?
I can't remember the instrument, to be honest. No, I can't remember that.
I thought it'd be nice just to have a little session talking to you both together about your time together and how you met during the war. Perhaps I ask you, Anne, where did you meet exactly?
Oh, I think it's snowing.
Oh, no.
Or is it? Is it?
No, it's the leaves. It's the leaves.
Thought I was looking at it was snowing.
Might be.
Oh, might have
it's the leaves.
Oh, it's the leaves.
Because I thought it was earlier on.
I was thinking, oh, no.
Oh, that would
be
a shock, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You want to know
yes.
How we met?
How you met and where and how it happened.
We met at RAF Wheaton in a bus queue. My friend, who was very naughty in those days, and she smoked, and saw his friend with a cigarette. So she went and asked him for a light. But she took a fancy to Bill.
Don't know why.
Anyway, we were going dancing into Blackpool at the Tower Ballroom. So we decided, we got on the bus and she sat with Bill and I sat with his friend.
He was married, wasn't he?
Yes, he was married. And anyway, when we got to Blackpool, they went their way and we went ours. And during the interval, back in those days, they used to have a zoo in there. And we decided to have a walk around the zoo and we bumped into them again. Mm-hmm. And decided to go to the YMCA and play table tennis. And then we got back to camp, because we had to be in by 23:59. And when we got to the camp, the men had to go in one gate and the ladies in another. And you used to have to go in and sign in. And I'd gone in and signed in, as my friend had. And when I came out, he was waiting for me.
So would you like to take over, Bill? How did you feel that night?
Well, I was very excited. Oh no, I was only a young one.
Yes.
And yes, it was lovely. I mean, when I was on the bus, you know, and I looked down and I thought, she's lovely. You know, wonder if anything will ever come of it. And as I say, we had to be booked in by 23:59, because if you weren't, you were put on a 252, which is a charge. And so we weren't naughty, were we? We got in time. And
then we went our own way.
And then we went our own way, didn't we?
And then it didn't sort of, we didn't say we were going out or anything.
No, no.
And about a week later, I went in. I was on fire picket, and I decided I wanted some hair stuff or something. That I'd go. I was allowed to go out on the camp, but not off the camp. And I went into the Red Shield, which was the Salvation Army. They had it was like a you could get tea and cakes and everything else you wanted in there. And who should walk in? It was him with all his books under his arm, because he was studying. And I think you bought me a tea.
I did. Did you have one, sugar?
And then we sat there for a while, and then you asked me to go to the cinema.
That's
which
right.
Was on the camp.
It was on the camp.
On the camp. Yeah. So we went to the cinema. And what happened in the cinema, somebody had tried to set it alight. So there was a little bit of sabotage. Somebody had put a cigarette into one of the seats, and of course,
caught
fire, didn't it?
So everybody had to be evacuated.
And And then we, I went, I think we didn't make any arrangements to go out, but you went on leave.
I went on leave.
He went on leave.
A week's leave.
Whilst he was on leave, somebody had tried to, I forget what it was now, whether it was, it was a fire anyway, on the parade ground, somewhere on the parade ground.
Are you warming up?
And they had tried to set light to that. And then I can't remember how we actually did come to it.
Well, you left, didn't you? Went to Wales, didn't you?
Yeah, but no, that was before. I'm talking about how we got out to go out together. I can't remember that bit. But we finally got together.
Maybe you met at a dance.
No, because Bill didn't dance in those days.
I did dance, didn't I, in the last waltz when everybody came on the floor.
Yes, not then.
Not then.
And anyway, we started to go out together, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then I was posted to Wales, and we lost touch.
For quite a while.
He went into hospital. Whilst he was in hospital, they moved
to another billet. So
they packed all his things up, and he didn't get his mail.
I forgot
all about him 6 months later.
That's a shame, isn't it?
6 months later, I got a letter from him to say what had happened, that he'd lost his mail, he didn't get his mail until quite late. And that was when I changed to being a wireless operator, you know, to train for wireless up. And I went back to Blackpool, and he was still stationed there. And then we used to meet under the clock at Woolworths. That was our meeting place, wasn't
that's
it?
Right. And used to be able to get a cup of tea and a wad.
Yes, that's what they used to call
it. A wad.
And then we used to share everything, didn't we? Because he got paid one fortnight and I got paid the next fortnight. So if he didn't have any money and I did, we would buy a sandwich and break it in half, or a bar of chocolate
and break it,
you
in
know.
Half.
And then the same with him, if he, you know, he used to do his share when he had his money.
That's right, yeah.
But
it wasn't a lot, was it?
No, because he used to have to allow money home, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he got, even although he got paid more than I did, he got less because some of his money used to go home.
You had to go in front of the officer.
Salute.
Give you a number, 1585171, sir.
Yes. 2026542.
Never forget it, you know.
Never.
It's funny, really, because you can forget what you did an hour ago, but you never forget that number.
No. We were just saying this, weren't we, Anne?
Yes.
You know, how these long memories stay with you.
Yeah, it is. You can remember the things I did as a boy.
Yes.
You know, it's incredible.
Yeah. Then when I got posted to Compton Bassett.
That's right.
Bill was still in Blackpool, but then he got posted to RAF Halton.
In Buckinghamshire.
Now, RAF Halton was not far from RAF Wing when I got posted to RAF Wing. So we used to meet in Aylesbury. And that, you know, as I say, that was fine. And then he got posted to Cosford. And that was, when I was taken ill. And I was in hospital, and it was, I say, VJ Day. He can tell you the rest.
Yeah, I think I told you, didn't I? Yes, I had. And the warrant officer came out to me and he says, Bill, would you like to go and see your young lady? She's in Wheaton Hospital.
In Halton.
Halton Hospital. So he said, I've got a crashed Anson here. He said, would you like to take it down on the Queen Mary? So another chap with me, away we went. And when I got to Halton, I drove through the gates and knew a couple of guys who were still there. They said, what are you doing here? I said, I've come to see my young lady. Anyway, I drove right up to the hospital and parked it outside. And I went in and saw the matron, and I said to the matron, I've come to see Anne Duffin, Miss Anne Duffin. Oh, no, you can't see her at the moment. She's having a bath. So anyway, she sat in the vehicle, and about half an hour or so later, she came out and said, you can come in now. Come in, yeah. Didn't I?
And then he, as I say, he was at Cosford. And then, of course, the end of the war came. But I'd been posted to RAF Honnerley, which was this side of Birmingham, and he was the other side of Birmingham, and Wolverhampton.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we were able again to meet. But the extraordinary funny thing was, I had a friend, a WAF, who was stationed at Cosford. And she said, I said to her, you know, can you get permission for me to come and stay in one of the huts for the weekend? And she said yes. And of course I sent him a telegram, but I didn't say where. and of course, but I'm walking through the gate and he's in a vehicle coming out. See, so it was meant.
Yeah,
it was meant to be.
Yeah, it was definitely meant to be.
Yeah, I was driving out with this big Bedford truck, and there was Anne.
And I didn't see much of him that weekend because he was busy working.
Yeah.
But even so.
Maybe that's when the proposal took place, did it?
No. You come out of the Air Force.
I came out of the Air Force.
Well, I tell you what it was. A lot of the feeling was, you know, until the war is over, you're here today and gone tomorrow. That was a lot of the feeling.
That was the same with the air crew.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, sort of thing. And I think that was basically what it was. But then I came out of the Air Force before Bill did, and he was still in the Air Force. And I couldn't settle at home because life was so different. And I decided that I'd have to do something else. So I went to work in domestic service in South Kensington, and the lady, she just had a cook, and I was the house parlour maid, and there was just her, the cook, and myself. And the lady was very kind. She was called Mrs. Drummond, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And she used to allow Bill, when he came on leave, to come and stay in one of the rooms there. And it was there you proposed to me.
Did I get down on one knee?
I can't remember that. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you decided that was, you know, so that was the time.
And then we got married in Cornwall.
Yes. There was no one from my family because Bill's father was an invalid. And
we decided that we really,
you know, it was a very quiet sort of wedding.
But it was when my parents moved from St. Ives to St. Austell.
Yes.
And we got married in the registrar.
We were supposed to be married on the 15th, but I don't know whether it's the same now, but you had to be living in the borough for a week.
For a week or so.
So, because I had to, we couldn't get married until the 17th because of that, you see, because we were staying with his parents. And then we lived with them for a while, didn't we?
Yeah.
But the jobs was very poor in Cornwall. And the money was very low, very low. And we couldn't save for a house or anything, could we?
Well, I worked for the... Well, I did get a job in a garage, didn't I?
Yes.
And then I worked for the English China Clay Company. And it was booming then, but it's gradually faded away now.
Then we went to lodge with someone else, didn't we? And then I found I was going to have Keith, because we got married in April 1946, and Keith was 1947, December. So then we decided to come back to London. So we came back for a while.
Did you come to Reading?
No, that was the second time.
Oh, was it?
The first time we came back and lived in one room.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Our son's godmother owned a house and she let us have a room. We had a bed and a table and a gas ring, and we bought a camping stove that went over the top of the gas ring so that we could roast things. And we had one wardrobe. And Bill was very, very tidy. He's very tidy now, but he was even tidier in those days. And I can always remember we had Keith. He was in a sort of cot. There's the wardrobe. His cot was there, and there was the window, sort of thing. And of course, every Bill used to work quite long hours. On Saturday, he never finished until about 2 o'clock. And he used to come home, and I had already done it, turfed all the mats and everything, because we had an old conservatory.